While and God's blessed us to have some good times together. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am thankful and refreshed to see people still holding to truth. Amen. So many places we have traveled in this short time. We've been home since about mid-October, maybe beginning of October. We came in for a missions conference in Roanoke, and we've been home and we just tried to itinerate. We've been to Maine and from there to Iowa and all over the not full west, but as far west as we've gone, amen, and then down south into Georgia, and some churches have, but it's discouraged us some, not discouraged, but broken our hearts to see so many straying from truth, and it's just refreshing to see those, amen, that are still holding to the truth of God's word. If you want to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, that's where I'll be reading from this morning, chapter 2. I have a message God laid on my heart. I feel like it may be a little bit different for a Sunday morning, but I just feel that God, several days ago, God laid this on my heart, and I begin to study, and what I like to do when I have the time is try to put my thoughts out, and then I let it sit for a while, and then I come back to it and try to go back over it and study it out more. But I feel like God has dealt with me several days ago. I began to study and come back to it yesterday, studying more, and I just feel like God had laid it on my heart, and I feel like delivering this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll begin reading, amen, but God is good to us, and I thank God for those that still are standing upon truth, because I see so many straying, and there's even websites now that are questioning holiness and questioning the things of God, and I have no problem with questioning things if it's for the purpose of growing. I have no problem with questioning the Bible if it's for the purpose of a better understanding and drawing closer to God. But what troubles me is all of those that use that type of questioning as a scapegoat for justifying their compromise. Amen. And I thank God for truth this morning. And I'm not going to dwell on that very long. Amen. But I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. We'll begin reading in verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We could stop there, but I want to read it in the full context of Scripture. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. This morning, we if we're going to make it in this life, if we're going to make it to heaven, amen, if we're going to make it, we use that verse of Scripture a lot, that first verse that we read, you know, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. We talk about heaven. We quote it a lot of times at funerals, amen. We talk about it in the context of talking about heaven. But if we're going to make it to heaven, amen, we're going to need the Spirit that he's talking about, that is the Holy Ghost, amen. We need the Holy Ghost if we're going to make it in this day and hour that we're living, amen. We talk about that Scripture a lot concerning heaven, but we fail oftentimes to read it in the full context of Scripture in the chapter that it's written, amen. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, amen. Now, not all things are revealed unto us. There's a lot of things we won't know and a lot of things we won't understand until we get to heaven, amen. But we there are things that God has us to know, amen. There are things that God has for us and for this day and for this age that God reveals to us by His Spirit, amen. And it is by His Spirit that we can understand His Word, amen. Because without the Spirit of God, the understanding fails us. We can study it for the historical context, but for the scripture, the spiritual context applied to spiritual lives, we must have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we are going to grow in our knowledge and relationship with the Lord, it must come by the Holy Ghost. And I believe we ought to be intelligent people. I believe we ought to be intellectual people. Amen. I believe that the smartest people that have preached the Word of God, amen, have benefited the church. I believe those that have blazed the trail of the gospel have been intelligent people. Charles Spurgeon was not an unintelligent man that we quote often. Amen. We quote many Pentecostal preachers that were not unintelligent people. I believe we need those people. We need education. Amen. But so many people today have become so intellectual that they have studied the Holy Ghost out of our services. They have forgotten that we are not only intellectual beings, but we are spiritual beings. We are not only intellectual beings, but we are emotional beings. God created us with emotions. God created us as spiritual beings. And if we are to worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. We've got to have the Spirit of God. We can develop things by talent. Amen. But it must be accompanied by the Spirit of God. We are in a society today that we are smarter than we ever have been, but we are lonelier than we ever have been. We have social media, but we are unsocial people. We have thousands of friends on Facebook, and I'm not preaching against Facebook. We have Facebook, amen. We have thousands of friends on Facebook, but very few that actually call us and ask us how we're doing. We are still emotional people, and to satisfy the emotions in our heart, we need the presence of God and the Holy Ghost of God working in us. We need the Spirit of God. And to understand the Word of God, we need the Spirit of God. This morning, I want to preach just a few minutes. I'll try not to be long on the essentials of the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? We're in a Pentecostal church, amen? It may be different for a Sunday morning, amen? And I'm not going to touch on everything about the Holy Ghost. We don't have time, amen? And I don't have all that kind of intelligence. I'm not, amen? I'm a simple preacher. I just thank God for giving me this message, and I want to deliver to you what God delivered to me, amen? Because for me to preach to you, God's got to give it to me and deal with me, amen? I want to deal with the Spirit of God today, amen? As He comes, His presence comes into this house. Hallelujah. We are at a point today that we don't need emotion so much anymore. We think we don't because we're rational human beings. We have the knowledge of salvation, and I do believe that God gave us the helmet of salvation so our knowledge will sustain us in times when our emotions can betray us. He gave us that helmet of salvation. He gave us that armor of God, but that covers the knowledge of salvation. But I don't want to just have the knowledge of basic salvation and that be the end of my experience with God. But I want to have the fullness of what God has for us because God created us emotional and spiritual beings, and I want to worship Him in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus, when He left, He gave us a comforter. He gave us a comforter that is to be to us who He was to His disciples. When His disciples wanted to learn how to pray, Lord, teach us to pray. We have the Holy Ghost today to intercede for us and to teach us to pray and to help us to pray. Jesus gave us a comforter that is to be to us, amen, what He was, who He was to His disciple, a leader, a teacher, a very present help in time of trouble, a present help to guide us in the ways of truth, a present help to comfort us in times of distress. The Holy Ghost is in us. As Jesus was present with His disciples, we have the presence of the Holy Ghost with us to teach us, to lead us, and to guide us. If we are to see healings, if we are to see miracles, if we are to see the power of God manifest in this day and hour, it will be through that third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit that works in us and through us. Who, if we allow Him to have the preeminence, if we allow Him to have the authority over us and to control our emotions, our attitudes, and our appetites, it will be through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But today, so many have dwindled the Holy Ghost down to goosebumps, amen, or a feeling or just an emotion. As long as we can feel a good atmosphere in the service, and a good atmosphere in the singings. We'll walk out and we'll talk about how the Spirit moved for us, amen. But I can tell you a good song listening to on the radio or even a good movie can give you goosebumps, but it ain't the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost doesn't just give us a good feeling, but the Holy Ghost produces an atmosphere of conviction. When the Holy Ghost moves into a place, I felt the Holy Ghost move in, and I've been saved for 20 years in 99, but I felt even recently the Holy Ghost move in and convict me of things, amen, and stir my heart and change me. The Holy Ghost produces an atmosphere of deliverance where people that are dealing with things can lay them down in an altar and be delivered of them. The Holy Ghost does more than just provide goosebumps. He's so much more than stirring our emotion. He is so much, tongues is a part of the worship, amen, a part of the evidence, but the Holy Ghost is so much more than speaking in tongues. The fullness of the Holy Ghost is power. Hallelujah. So in order to have better understanding, who is the Holy Ghost? The Bible is not written to prove the existence of God. It is written on the fact that God is. When you read the Bible, it is not there just trying to prove how God exists for all of those 66 books. It is written on the basis that God is. It's the fact that it's known that God is. Amen. I don't need to prove this morning the existence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't need to prove the existence of the Trinity. It is clear throughout the Word of God. Amen. We find ourselves in apologetics today defending that faith. Amen. Defending that truth. But I believe it is clear throughout the Word of God that there is a Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I believe there is a Spirit of God that is working today. Hallelujah. We don't have to prove that this morning. The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. He should never be considered only as a feeling or a blessing. Amen. We come short of the truth when we refer to the Holy Ghost as it. He lives in me. He moved in the service. He came and touched us. He is very much God. Amen. He is very much in authority. He is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. He works and moves in us and around us. He shared in the creation of the world. Today, He shares in the creation of new creatures in Christ Jesus. It is the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He is present at conversion. He is present when the sinner comes to Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who begins the process. Jesus said when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. It is the Holy Ghost that brings conviction to the sinner. It is the Holy Ghost that convinces us that we are in need of a Savior. It is the Holy Ghost that moves in hearts when they come under the preaching of the Word of God. The first time I'd ever heard the Word of God preached, I was 18 years old. I grew up just a couple miles from our home church, the church we go to now, but had never been to church in my life at 18 years old. I went into church with my grandmother, amen, and the preacher got to preaching, and it was the Holy Ghost that brought conviction to me. I never really felt that before. I felt guilt before, but never really felt that pressure that I needed to do something about that guilt. It was only to convince me of sin and convicted my heart. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Galatians 4:6 says, "God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit is that agent at your conversion. He convicts of sin. He sanctifies unto salvation. And when you are born again, you are born of the Spirit of God. Amen. You are born into the family of God, but born of the Spirit. Amen. There should be more than our basic salvation and the basic knowledge of salvation. I fear how many are lost but are fooled because they've just repeated a sinner's prayer, but they've never gone any farther than that. They've repeated a sinner's prayer and somebody has told them, "Now you're saved." And that's been the end of their experience and the end of their conversion, the end of their salvation. And they'll tell people today, "Well, at 6 years old, I repeated a sinner's prayer. Or at 12 years old, I repeated a sinner's prayer." There is so much more to our experience in God. There's so much more to serving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is more than a feeling that just draws us to church. There is a baptism that is subsequent to salvation. Jesus commanded for His disciples to tarry until they be endued with power from on high. And that was a prerequisite to ministry. You've got to wait until you get that power before you can have the power to go minister, because that Holy Ghost is needed. It is necessary. And there are so many that will argue today, well, maybe it's not a command. It's not required to enter heaven. And you might get by on that technicality, but I don't want to make it to heaven on technicalities. Amen. I want to make it to heaven having everything that God has there for me. God commanded holiness. I want to live holy. God commanded sanctification. I want to live a sanctified life. God commanded, wait till you get filled with the Holy Ghost before you minister. I want the Holy Ghost. God, give me all that you have for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus commanded for them to tarry until they be endued with power from on high. It was a prerequisite to ministry. And that's the power that we need today. And the Holy Ghost works. Amen. He speaks of those things that he has seen and heard around the throne room of heaven. When he speaks to our hearts, amen, he's speaking of those things that the Father and the Son have talked about concerning us. Amen. People today question God's word. They question God's word. Amen. And the doctrines and the standards of God. Amen. Without really seeking the Holy Spirit to direct them and guide them. And they're going to fall short. Amen. Without the Holy Ghost, without being full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to fall short of finding the truth of God, because we need the Spirit of God to direct us in our study and in our relationship with God. Amen. For us to fully recognize God's voice and his word, we must be full of God's Spirit. Amen. If we want to make a stand on we want to stand firm on the word of God, we must seek to be filled with his Spirit. Jesus said, amen. John said, I'm one that would baptize with fire. Amen. He baptizes with fire. There is a fire baptism. I'm not talking about fire baptized churches. Amen. But there is a baptism of fire. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we had trouble in Kenya when we first got there, and it wasn't for a lack of desire, it was for a lack of knowledge. They thought when they were baptized with water, that was it, that was the Holy Ghost, amen? But now young people are seeking for the Holy Ghost and getting filled, and God is touching their lives. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, is desirable. And the fact is, it's attainable, amen. It is available, hallelujah. You must first be saved. That's a prerequisite of that, amen. Jesus said, whom the world cannot receive, and you must obey. We are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him, amen. If there's rebellion in your heart today, it must be surrendered. It must be given away. It must be surrendered to God, amen, so that we can walk in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. But we must ask. But we have gotten to be, especially in America, impatient people, amen. We have Amazon here, and in some cities they're doing same-day delivery now. In Kenya, we have Jumia, which is based out of Nigeria. And when we order something through there, we don't order anything big, but it takes at least a month, amen. We might get 2 months free, like Amazon 2 days free, might get 2 months free. Amen. It's made us very impatient. Amen. Jesus told them to ask and seek and knock. It wasn't just that once you ask and you seek and knock, you're done. No, it was the point of being persistent. You ask and you haven't received, then seek for it. You continue seeking. If you still haven't received, then keep knocking until somebody comes to the door. Amen. Keep looking. The key is to be persistent. Amen. Don't give up after a short while. Amen. Too often we restrain because we haven't seen it in a certain time period. God doesn't work on our timetable, and we don't always understand why God moves the way that he does, but keep being persistent. Be like that widow woman that kept persisting, kept asking until she wore out the judge. Amen. Keep asking. Keep persisting. Faith in God expects. When you got faith in God, you ask with an expectation, today is my day. I will receive it. Hallelujah. How many have ever been expecting a package? Our son, a church we were at, took up an offering just for our son. We're thankful for that. But he ordered a couple paintball gun supplies. Amen. He was expecting it to come the other day, and it didn't. But his expectation was high. Sure, his hopes were crushed, but he's been expecting it every day since then. Amen. Faith expects. And then when it doesn't come that day, yeah, you're disappointed. And that's a natural emotion. But expect it the next day. Next time I go back, it's going to be mine. If it doesn't happen, I may walk away disappointed. But one day, one of these days, I'm going to receive that gift. Amen. Faith expects God is going to do it. And we've got to ask with joy. We've got to have expectancy, but we've got to have joy, because God is the giver of the gift. And God is good. Everything that is in Him is good. And His blessings are for us. They are for you. So ask and in praise. Ask with joy. Ask with praise. The sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips. So ask Him with praise on your lips. Hallelujah. Because He is worthy. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. Express delight in the Lord when you ask of Him. Too many bury their heads and too often bury their emotions. And they go through the rhythm of prayer, but they don't pray with expectancy. They bury their emotions in their heads, and I'm one of those. I don't like everybody to hear what I'm praying about. When I'm praying by myself, I'll be a little bit more vocal, but when I'm in church, I'm a little quieter. But if there's something I'm really seeking God for, I'm going to make my voice heard. I'm going to make my voice known. I don't care who hears it. When I'm worshiping God, I want Him to hear the praises of my lips. Amen. I want Him to hear the praise that I have for Him, because He alone is worthy of our praise. And when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, He said, when you pray, say. Say something, amen. Open your mouth and speak. When you pray, say. Say what you need. Say what's on your heart. Say what you're looking for. Worship and make your voice heard. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Ghost fell on the disciples, it was because they were in continual prayer and in supplication with one accord. And afterwards, it didn't stop. After they were filled, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. It wasn't a once and done thing. There are times I've needed a refilling of the Holy Ghost. There are times I've needed a resaturation. God, I'm feeling weak. Refill me tonight. They didn't stop there. They continually went into the temple praising and blessing God and seeking God to continually move in their lives. Your salvation experience is not the end of your Christian experience. It is not the end of your relationship. It is the beginning of your relationship. And there is so much more. And it comes through worship. Worship in God. Hallelujah. In Samaria, in Acts chapter 8, in Samaria, Philip had preached the kingdom of God. And they had been converted. They had been baptized. But when John and Peter come, they told them about more. Amen. They told them about a Holy Ghost. As of yet, the Bible said it had fallen on none of them. So Peter and John prayed for them with laying on of hands. And they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Acts chapter 10, Peter is preaching to the household of Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. Amen. In Ephesus, Paul instructed the disciples of John who had been baptized, but laid hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It still works today. It is a formula that still works today. In Africa, in Kenya, we have seen people with no Bibles and no experience in a Pentecostal church, but surrender themselves to God, and the Holy Ghost fall upon them as they are filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And it transforms their lives. It gives them a power. We see the evidence. Amen. The fact is, it is for us today. It didn't cease in the book of Acts. Just as we take forgiveness from the hand of the crucified Savior, we need to take that Pentecostal gift from the hands of the resurrected Savior, because He still has power today. He is not, the Holy Ghost is not only an add-on. Amen. It's not an add-on. When the disciples were filled, there was a change in their lives. There was a change in their language. There was a change in their authority, in their power to preach and carry the Word of God. The evidence is speaking in other tongues, but that's only a part of the baptism experience. The other tongue is a accompanied by power and authority in the Holy Ghost. It signified a new age of ministry in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Before the day of Pentecost, the people of God were one nation, the nation of Israel. To serve God, you had to become circumcised. You had to become a Jew. You had to follow the law of Moses. The nation had its own language for God's people. Christ came. He opened the door for all. For the woman at the well, for the Samaritans, for the Jews, for the publicans and sinners, for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He opened the door for all. His sacrifice was for all. And the promised comforter that he told them all about would enable them to reach all nations. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke with the tongues of the 15 other different nationalities that were there. In the Old Testament, we had prophecy. Prophecy was the evidence of the Holy Spirit when the church was national, when it was Israel. Amen. Tongues is the evidence today that the church is international, that it is the world over, that it is for every tongue, every nation, every people to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. It can be the language of heaven or the language of men, but tongues did not cease in the book of Acts. It's the external evidence. But there is more that takes place in the heart and the mind of the believer as the Holy Ghost fills him. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to direct our attention and our praise to God. It is the Holy Ghost's intention to direct our praise to God. When we seek the Holy Ghost, our prayer should be accompanied by praise. Amen. And we shouldn't silence those that praise Him. We should not hinder the Spirit. I was preaching in the town, the village of Bungoma, sometime last year. And as I was preaching, an elder lady began to cry out, "Bwana Safiwe, Yeshua Safiwe, praises to God, praise the Lord, praise Jesus." And one of the elder members run over to silence her, to move her out, to quiet her down. He said he didn't want her to be a distraction for the preaching. I said, let her praise Him. That's what I'm here preaching about. I'm preaching about that Savior. Let the praises be heard. Hallelujah. In Belize, a few years ago, we were there, and a young lady ran to the altar. One of the young men had finished preaching, and she ran to the altar, and she poured herself into that altar, and she cried, and she praised, and cried out to God, and worshiped God, and several of the elders came and said they wanted to move her out, move her outside. It didn't fit the order of their service, and it was distracting other people who were trying to worship, and I told them, allow the Holy Ghost to have the preeminence over our order. If she gets full of the Holy Ghost, it will take care of the problems that she has. If some of the others get full of the Holy Ghost, it will take care of any of their jealousy or animosity towards her. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost to have the preeminence over our order. Hallelujah. And have His way in our services. We must worship the giver of the Spirit. And this is not done in silence, but in the pouring out in prayer of thanks and of praise to God. Hallelujah. And the last sign of the spiritual baptism is growth in the church, in self, as well as in the church. Because when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will be a soul winner. We mentioned Spurgeon earlier. Spurgeon was one that said every Christian is a missionary or an imposter. Amen. We're missionaries somewhere. You may never go to Kenya and work with us. Amen. We'd love for you to, but you may never venture there, but you're a missionary right here. We've got a mission field in small town America that needs to hear about the love of God. And what they don't need is a watered down gospel that comes from this charismatic region that believes nothing. What they need is a Holy Ghost filled man or woman of God to share them the love of God, share them the grace of God in love, amen, and in the purity of holiness so that they can see a transformed life. Hallelujah. Something that will produce an atmosphere of deliverance that only comes by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost has come to convince the world of sin. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you will draw souls to Christ through the Spirit that is living in you. Amen. To be filled, you must first be saved. Amen. You must pray God to sanctify you. Sanctification, there's a lot of different definitions and progressive and definite, but sanctification basically has the distinctive purpose of preparing your heart for heaven and your life for the power of the Holy Ghost to work in you. Amen. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Since you belong to Him in salvation, you should glorify Him in your body and spirit, which are God's. And the Spirit will not fill a place that is already full of the world, that is full of lust or desires or appetites of the world, whatever you have. Amen. The Spirit of God will not compete with the world. He will not inhabit an unclean vessel. He wants all of you. Amen. God told Israel he would put a difference between them and the Egyptians. There was a difference then between the holy and the unholy, and I believe that carries on because the moral law still carries on today. There is a difference between holy and unholy things. Amen. The Holy Spirit will not bless an unholy lifestyle. We must prepare the temple by allowing God to make us aware of anything in our lives that need to be sanctified, cleansed, and we must be surrendered. I believe it's time for the people of God today to humble ourselves if we're going to be used. Amen. And I'm not preaching saying anybody has pride, but to humble, fully surrender yourself to God. One brother said, we don't lie in our speech, but we lie in our singing. I surrender some. Amen. I surrender all. We sing it, but in our hearts we hold back so much. Must be surrendered. Amen. I give myself. There's a song we have in our slideshow you'll hear tonight if it all works out. Amen. I give myself away. This life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself away. There are gifts of the Spirit that the present day church needs to experience. I'm so tired of hearing what used to happen. I want it to happen today. Well, we used to have it this way. We used to see healings, and we used to see miracles, and we used to have prophecy. We can have it today, but what we need is people that aren't so just focused on being intellectual, but being full of the Holy Ghost of God more than anything else. And then God can use that intelligence and that intellectualism to bless the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit draws us to, I'm coming to a close. If somebody will come to the piano, come to the music. Hallelujah. There are gifts that we need today, gifts of revelation, gifts of power and utterance. We need them today. We cannot operate those gifts if we don't have the Spirit of God. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Continuing in that, he says, have been made to drink into one Spirit. And the Holy Ghost is organization, it is unity, it is union with God. The Spirit draws us together in Christ. He provides our order of worship. Amen. As he says, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Another place, exhort one another, comfort one another. The Holy Ghost directs us. Amen. He provides workers and leaders and teachers and singers and preachers. Amen. As the Holy Ghost blesses and anoints and operates through them, it is the Holy Ghost that operates through anointed preaching and anointed singing, even anointed music playing, anointed musicians that bring the Spirit of God in. It was Elisha that called for a minstrel to come in and bless by the anointed playing of the Spirit of God. It was David that when he played, it soothe the spirit of Saul because of that anointing. We need the Holy Ghost in every facet of our worship. Hallelujah. We need prophecy. We need miracles. We need anointed preaching. If we use only our enticing words, we intrude on the Holy Ghost. I want Him to preach through me. I want to just be a vessel that the Holy Ghost can use. But let us seek the Holy Ghost. Let's stand this morning. Is this okay, brother? I don't know how y'all typically do altar calls. Amen. If the Spirit of God has His way, then the service will be anointed. We won't walk out just saying, man, he preached good. Or, man, they sang good. Walk out saying, I'm so glad I laid that at the altar because people will be convicted. We'll walk out and say, man, I'm so glad I got that comfort today because the Holy Ghost is the comforter of the saints. Walk out saying, I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God was there because it's not about me. It's not about my preaching. It's not about hearing my voice. I could have sat here and listened to Brother Derek preach. I would love to. I've been a long time since I've heard him preach. But I just pray, God, if you give me the opportunity, let the Holy Ghost speak through me. God, speak to us this morning. I don't know who you are, where you come from. I don't know much of your history. I know Brother Derek and Sister Holly and Brother Shane and Sister Kaylee. I don't know all of you, where you come from. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's a good time to seek for it. It's a good time to reach out and ask God. Praise Him. Give Him glory. Worship Him. Ask, seek, and knock. If you have the Holy Ghost, it's not bad just to come back and say, God, I want more. I need more. Whether it's a refilling or a topping off or whatever you want to call it, amen, I need more. I need more. It's not good. I'm a mechanic by trade. It's not good to run your car on empty all the time. Amen. Just above empty. It's bad on, it's hard on the fuel pump. I don't want to just run on empty. God, keep me full. Keep me full. Because it's when I'm full that it's running over and somebody else can get a touch and somebody else can see the testimony and somebody else can hear of the love of God. When I'm weak and when I'm struggling, when I'm failing, very few are hearing my testimony. But when I'm full, they see my praise. They see my worship. They see you, God. Fill me up today. Let's find a place around these altars, everyone that would this morning. Let's seek the Lord. Hallelujah.